Well, good morning. Merry Christmas once again. Our scripture text is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49 in verse 1 will serve as our text. The Lord has called me from the womb. And let's do the context here. We'll be working from both text and context this morning. And I trust that your eyes will be open to see the glory of God to whom we just sang, the Savior, Christ, the Lord. Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver, he has hidden me. And he said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him, for I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. Indeed, he says, it is too small a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth. So God the Father here gave God the Son a commission to enter into the world he created, to save sinners. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the means of the entry of Christ the Savior is also foretold. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Jesus was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and his divine calling, like Jeremiah, was from the womb. But this Jesus was not only a prophet, he is more than a prophet, he is God incarnate. And this is what separates Christianity from every other religion known to man. In Christianity, God himself came down and became man and came unto men. But in every other religion, man reaches and reaches and reaches up to God. He climbs the proverbial stairway to heaven and never reaches the top. And this is the beauty of Christmas. At Christmas, we behold the child, a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. But we see the Christ child is more than this. Both Isaiah and Paul tell, as Paul Harvey would say, the rest of the story. 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 16 says this, and these words are written of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and they testify to his deity. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. God's commission to his Son has succeeded, and it shall succeed on every point. We celebrate the birth of the Savior, the God-man, but this is only the beginning, a starting point of worship due to him, for he has done so much more. And now the Lord says, who formed me from the womb to be his servant, Jesus came to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. As we noted on Friday, men and women come into this world to live, to find eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord, and to receive the reward associated with our purpose. Friends, we are so much more than mere flesh. We are body, soul, and spirit. The Lord from heaven came to be your sin-bearing servant, that you might be received unto God without encumbrance of sin, which God, being holy by definition, has to separate himself from. And so, we find the Christmas story and the Easter message inexplicably tied together. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 2 reads, "And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword." Everybody loves a baby. The Christ child in the manger, in the crib, is no offense to most people. Babies in general, in fact, tend to bring people together for joy. But friends, when we look further into the Christmas story and we get into the gospel story, we find God's word piercing as a sword into the hearts and the spirits of men and women everywhere, such that folks say, "I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear about Jesus Christ at Christmas." That message hits too close to home. As Simeon prophesied, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against." There are more in the world who speak against Christ than those of us who have received him and speak for Christ. And this is no wonder, for God has told us in his book 2,000 years ago. And then Simeon turns to Mary. "Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." The light has entered the world. But some people love the light, while others love the darkness of sin more than the light of the world. And sometimes we may wonder why people persist in their sin. Why people persist in their unbelief? Because God's peace and goodwill is so freely offered, so freely available, and so obviously good. But Scripture tells us that everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. We've all done things that we're ashamed of. We've all had thoughts that we're ashamed of. But thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of Christ the Savior, who is willing and more than willing, eager to forgive and to welcome you home today of all days. Isaiah continues, and he has said to me, "You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified." Then I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my just reward is with the Lord, and my work with my God." And so it came to pass that he came to his own, that is Israel, and his own did not receive him. They missed the time of their visitation. When Jesus came fulfilling the prophecies of the messianic birth, in place, in time, and in manner, the Jews accused him of being born illegitimately. And they said, "We were not born of fornication. We have one Father, God." And so, disbelieving the virgin birth, many today blaspheme the true Messiah of God. And so the salvation of all Israel spoken of by Zechariah was delayed. But now the Lord says, "Who formed me from the womb to be his servant," this is Jesus Christ speaking, "to bring Jacob back to him, so that Israel is gathered to him. For I shall be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength." And so it happened that God's salvation has been made available through God's anointed. Indeed, he says, "It is too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also give you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be my salvation to the ends of the earth." When placed under oath by Pilate, being asked, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Friend, if you hear his voice this Christmas morning, place your faith in him now and forever. You do not need to be empty and alone, for this is what you are if you have only the blessings pertaining to the body in this world and not the blessings pertaining to the Spirit of God in His Christ. Simply, come to God, admitting that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior, and that you've seen His Son Jesus a little bit differently today. That for this cause He came into the world, to save you. That it didn't all begin and end at Christmas. That Jesus lived a sinless life. That He died, shed His blood at the cross, was buried in the tomb, and He had given His life, and so, in the fullness of time, He took it up again, and He rose again, that the hope, the peace, and the goodwill of God that began one night in Bethlehem, attended to by shepherds and angels, might be known in your spirit. This, friends, is the Christmas spirit. It's what Christmas is all about in the fullness of the gospel. And if you believe these things, or if this has touched your spirit anew, then this will be the best Christmas ever. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for this time of joy. And Lord, we pray that Your dayspring will arise in the heart of every man, woman, and child here today. That it will be found in our families, that we will go from here as the shepherds did, sharing the joyous news, which is the content of the day which we celebrate, which has the very name of the one whom we worship, Christ. The Lord, our God, and our Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.